Hi there, I'm Michael Hall.
And I'm Andy Davis.
And we want to welcome you to The Dadvantage, the D&D podcast where two old school dads...
Rob a train!
Oh my god, we're robbing a train! So this is part two of our great train robbery, the Stories of the Shattered Chasm. Andy, you want to walk us in?
Yeah, so if you haven't listened to episode one, you should do so. But here's a quick recap of the action so far. We have Nunya Bidness, who I'm playing, which is an Arakocra monk. And we have Jean-Marlo Damar. Jean-Marlo Damar, who is a human artificer with a lovely fox steel defender companion. And we are robbing a train. We've been hired by someone to rob a train. We're in the midst of that heist right now. So we have successfully detached the back half of the train after some other adventures. And we're now getting ready to hijack the engine and break into the vault as we speed through the next stop and proceed over the Folly Bridge.
Yeah, so we are joined today by Peter, who's our DM.
Hello. Yes.
And we also somehow managed to rescue another thief who we didn't intend to rescue, but somehow has joined us via the feat of jumping between moving trains at a fairly large distance. Yes. And his name is?
One Seamus McRobin.
He should be Seamus McRuffin, I think, because he's a gnoll.
True.
Or McRuffian.
That'd be McRuffian. I like that. We can call him Seamus McRuffian.
McGruff. It's McGruff, the crime dog. Yeah. Okay, we left the town of Riddle. We're very quiet for the first half of our trip, but now the action started after we discovered a couple of other groups that also were planning on robbing the train. We've managed
beat to ditch them.
Beat to the punch. I think that is exactly. Yep. We didn't hurt anybody. Well, except for one guard. Well,
yeah, two guards. Beaten under
two guards.
One who was thrown off the train.
Correct. Yeah. But the train has been detached, and Nunya is racing towards the engine while Marianne the Fox and Jean-Marlo Damar is making his way across the roof of the vault car. So let's pick it up there, Pete.
Yeah, there are only three cars to the chain remaining. A train, what is affectionately known by only myself as the power car, which is essentially the battery for the train. And
you have affection car. For the power. That's what I really like.
I have affection for the power car. No one's ever going to go into it, but I have affection. So those three carts remaining are about 60 feet long, 15 feet wide, and 10 to 15-ish feet tall. Currently, I think things that are good to remind players of, there are three kind of drivers / engineer in the driver's car, as Nunya saw when you first scouted out the train. There should still be one guard on this section, and there is still the unknown quantity that is the victor of the Blood Games, Morlo.
There's some mysterious character named Morlo who we have not encountered on this train.
We looked for him on the train, but we haven't found him yet. Yes. So more than likely, he's in the vault.
It's quite possible.
We're at the top of the round?
Yes.
Yes, so we're at the top of the round.
Nunya, for those who listened to the previous episode, Nunya's sort of got a squeaky bird voice. Nunya is crouched about 10 feet away from the lip of the engine, and he's going to scoot forward 10 feet, look down over the top, and cast silence on the engine compartment.
Yep.
And then leap down in the middle of it. What do I see?
So as you leap down, you can see there are three gnomes in here. One of them is at a series of levers. One of them is turning knobs somewhat frantically. As you can see, one knob that says FPH on it is capping out in the red zone, and he's panicking about that. And one of them is now mutedly screaming into a black piece of stone before he realizes no sound is coming out of his mouth.
FPH.
And the one yelling into the stone will turn and look at you. Eyes go like full, like bug-eyed, like huge, huge eyes on his tiny head, and he will try to say something a couple times, realizes no sound is happening, and then just stick up his hands.
Oh, like he's surrendering?
Yeah.
What do the other ones do? I guess that he's the only one who saw me.
Yes, the other ones are now seeing this and realizing what's happening, but the one at like the levers, it's still working the levers while trying to look back, but also trying to keep his eyes ahead of him. And the one at the dials is panicking listening in dead silence at the dials.
Okay. I have two pairs of manacles. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to hold the manacles up and like jingle them without any like sound.
Yeah.
And have them like basically manacle themselves to their stations. And I'm going to take the black stone with like the voice thing. And I'm just going to pitch it off the side of the terrain. And then I'm going to drop the silence,
yeah,
which is all more than 6 seconds. So
that'll probably go into your next turn. Heads up.
That's fine.
But you are absolutely able to pull out, jangle the manacles, throw it to them to manacle themselves. So there's dead silence from the stone. That'll probably be next turn.
Okay.
Marlo's going to race forward. And then when he gets to the flip, he expects there to be a guard on that platform between the two trains, between the vault and the power.
Particularly for the vault cart, there's a 5 to 10 foot step in before you get in. So you looking over, he is under a hooded area, if that makes sense.
Okay.
The area where he would be standing is hooded.
Well, then I'm just going to drop down.
Yeah. Dropping down, you see a panicked looking guard, weapons ready, who previously held his action to attack anyone who came near him. And so he will attack you twice.
All right. As I was running, I will arm myself. So I have my shield.
Yeah.
My shield and my sword.
Does a 18 hit?
It does not.
He will swing this heavy cudgel at you essentially a couple of times. The first time totally whiffing, the second time bouncing off your shield kind of uselessly, but that is his held action.
Excellent. Yeah, Jean Marlo has he's wearing magical half plate. Doesn't give him any bonus, but it covers his skin, so he doesn't even look like he's wearing armor. And then he has a magical shield as an artificer, which gives him a +3, so he has a 21 armor class.
That is pretty impressive.
So then he is going to attack the guard then.
Okay.
He will attack the guard twice. First time rolling and a 12.
A 12 will miss.
And the second time rolling a 17.
That will connect.
So that does 11 points of damage.
11 points of damage. He is bloodied, but still standing.
And then Marianne is going to, he's going to hold his bonus action for Marianne. Marianne is going to run forward and also drop down, and then she will attack him as well.
Okay.
And Marianne has Marianne's
attack.
Force-empowered rend, and she bites at him, rolling a 25.
That super hits.
And then she does 9 points of damage.
20 is exactly enough. Marianne jumps up and bites at this man's throat as he collapses back, going down. That is the last of the Grey Wind Guard that you guys are pretty sure you have to deal with. Definitely not up for the task in this case.
Perfect.
And he has a black stone?
Yes, he has a black stone. There is a lot of yelling from the other half of the train. There's someone yelling, "There's robbers on the train! What's going on? What's going on at the front of the train?" It is abject chaos.
Do I have enough action economy left to say something into the stone?
I mean, yeah, it's still clicked on.
Okay,
so.
Then I'm going to,
be totally honest, these guys probably heard this guy die, whoever's on the other side of the stone.
I'm gonna do my best American accent as Marlo.
Okay. let me see. I'm okay, everybody. Well, they're attacking from the back of the vault car.
No. No, it ain't. And as the voice says, "No, it ain't," is not coming from the stone. You look up and the door to the vault car is open with a 7 foot tall man in dark armor carrying a battle axe. That really ain't an American accent, boy.
Uh-oh.
Meet Marlo, victor of the blood games. It is Seamus's turn before it's Marlo's turn. Seamus is going to bite.
I'm going to call it right now. Seamus is going to save our hash with some random hit in the very last bit of this fight, where he just joins in for no good reason, swinging a pair of half-open manacles.
Seamus is going to bite through the rope that you tied off, leaving the guard that had been his captor in the dust. Previously, Seamus had jumped off the cart and he rolled a natural 20 for the jump. The guard is getting sucked under the other half of the train and being crushed by it. But after that, it is at Marlo's turn. Ironically, I had totally forgotten there was a character named Marlo when I named this guy Marlo. So that is why he's named Marlo. He will start by taking his 3 attacks at you.
That's not good.
On his first attack, he may do so at disadvantage because of my skilled offender, who will give him disadvantage on his first attack. And will do so on the first attack every turn that she is within 5 feet of him.
Okay, so that will have protected you from a natural 20 in that case.
Oh my, thank you, Marianne.
Which is good for you. And now his next two attacks. He is rolling poorly. He misses you with a quick series of slashes. And he will turn and look at you and goes,
"So,
oh, what? So you think you're a big shot? You think you know what you're doing? Let's see if you really do. Or are you just as dumb as they all made you feel back in town?" I would like a wisdom saving throw as he begins to berate you and insult you.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
So you are not frightened.
That was a nat 20 on my saving throw.
So you are not affected by his skill berate, but he will definitely pop his chest and do the come at me, bro. But that is his turn. So far has been ineffective. Top of the round, Nunya, you are in silence.
Okay, I'm gonna drop silence. Two of these guys are manacled to their stations.
Yep.
And I'm just gonna look at all of them and I go,
"If you three want to live through this, you're gonna make this train go as fast as it possibly can all the way across the bridge."
At this point, the one that was on the radio goes, "Are you insane? That'll destroy the bridge."
That is a bridge we'll cross when we get to it. But in the meantime. In the meantime, you're at least going to go as fast as you possibly can through the next town, okay? Because I don't want any more guards getting on this train.
They do will that. Not. So the one at the dials that seems to be at the thing that says FPH and is bouncing in the red zone, he will just turn all the way towards the red zone.
My man! I got to go take care of some other business, but I'll be back. I'm watching you.
And then I just jump up. And I'm going to assume that was probably my action.
Yeah.
So do I have enough movement to get back to the vault door?
Yes. You're essentially on the back end of the power car and can see this fight between who you assume to be Morlo and your friend.
So then, let's see. Okay. Got 5 key points left.
Okay. So I'm going to jump down next to
Marlo, not Morlo. And I'm going to spend one more key point to do patient defense with my bonus action.
Okay.
Which basically, patient defense lets me spend a key point to get the dodge action.
Okay. So you are taking a dodge. It is now Marlo, not Morlo.
Marlo, that plagiarizing son of a bitch.
We can just use Morlo's last name, which is O'Lare. O'Lare.
O'Lare.
Morlo O'Lare.
Jean Marlo is going to think fast on his feet and clicks a button on his sword and says a few arcane words and points his sword directly at O'Lair. And the electricity shoots forward from the sword and wraps around Marlo O'Lair. And he casts Vortex Warp.
If you cast a spell, he will use Mage Slayer to attack you.
That's okay.
And he So
does he get to do that before my spell gets off?
Okay, that's fine. So it is in reaction to you starting the spell.
He will do this at disadvantage because it's the new round. And Marianne has deflect attack. The defender poses disadvantage on the attack roll of one creature it can see that is within 5 feet of
him. Okay, 14, he will miss. He is not rolling well, so he will have to change tack.
Well, he's first going to have to succeed a constitution saving throw.
Okay, he has advantage on these. And is this an effect that would displace him? Actually, it doesn't matter. He already has advantage on it. So that is an 18.
He, at the same time that he does this, Marlo releases a number of small, what looks like bees, like little metal bees from his hand, and casts silvery barbs as a reaction, and now he needs to roll again.
Okay.
Oh.
Sorry, that is normal. Okay. Should he still be at advantage or no?
No, he didn't.
He just
has to roll again and take this roll.
Okay, so that is a 10.
You also have advantage as silvery barbs. Do you have advantage, which you can give to one?
I will give myself advantage.
A question.
Yeah?
The defender, is that a reaction to use?
Yes. But yeah, I
believe the defender uses your reaction.
The defender uses its reaction.
Okay, it has its own reaction. You have to use a bonus action to activate it?
I don't have to use anything for Marianne to use her reaction to give
advantage. Got it.
She has her own.
So how does Vortex Warp work?
Well, let me read it to you because this is going to be really, really fun. And I'm really sorry, Peter.
Oh, don't worry. I have a trick for this.
Okay. So an electric rope just reaches out from the sword and catches
O'Lair.
O'Lair. And you magically twist space around another creature. You can see within range. A creature must succeed a constitution saving throw. They fail. And the target is teleported to an unoccupied space of your choice that you can see within range 90 feet away.
Okay. So,
I'm going to put him up in the air as well so that he will take fall.
Okay, I'm going to say something. As the DM, I didn't know that I mixed up Vortex Warp with another spell. In this case, he is going to use his one legendary resistance to succeed the saving throw. That's what he'll take it. I thought this was the one that you like swap places so you can push
this
him
is
off.
Where I send him flying into space.
He will. It looks like you start to pull him out into the air, and he twists, and the effect breaks around him.
Still, it was still worth it.
So it's totally worth it because now great. He doesn't have
reaction, and he doesn't have a legendary resistance.
Legendary resistance, I believe, doesn't take your reaction. It's just a once per day.
Right, but he used his reaction.
Yeah, to Mage Slayer. Okay.
All right, well, that
and
was
Marianne.
That was Marlo's turn. Marianne is going to attack him. She didn't like that. No, actually, I take it back. She's going to take dodge. She's going to dodge.
So no one attacked him.
Well, I mean, I attacked him with a spell.
No. Yeah, but you didn't take an attack action at him. I'm just clarifying as we go into this.
Correct.
Okay, so as no one seems to have hit him while he was doing that arm splayed, come and get me type of pose, you assume he's grinning under this face mask of a helmet as he lurches forward and bulks up is a great way to describe it.
Maybe I should have attacked him, Andy.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
Yeah, well, I almost made him fall.
Everybody's bigger than me, except the gnomes.
Yeah, he's going to open up by trying to berate you again.
Okay.
So I need another wisdom saving throw.
Well, that was a 10. Oh wait, I should have
a DC 17.
You have advantage because of silver barbs.
That's true. I did have advantage. All right. Well, there's my second roll. Not much. Yeah. Well, I guess. Can't really help it. It wouldn't even add a 5 to it, but I don't think that's going to help it.
So, yes, it is a DC 17 wisdom saving throw. This guy is huge, and you thought you had this great plan with Vortex Warp, but now that he's resisted it, you're starting to feel a bit about out of your depth. And since you are frightened, he has advantage to attack you. The first attack will be normal because he's being given disadvantage, correct?
Correct.
So, the first attack, he will take his battle axe in two hands, and then he will take two more attacks at. He will actually put. Yeah, he'll take two attacks into you at advantage, a natural 20 and a 23. He will be using.
So hold on one second.
No, you have already used the reaction.
I can't stop the 23 or the 20. Well, I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it.
He will be spending two of his cruelty dice to add to the damage on one for each hit. So that is a 30 damage for the critical hit and another 26 for the regular hit.
Are you still up?
I am still up, but really barely.
So as he pulls back this axe in two hands and just starts tearing into you. Ow. And he is pretty much saying, oh, you think your little metal can protect you? He has used his uses of berate and two of his cruelties. So that's him.
So how fast would you say the train's going? This
so
point?
Since the train has lost a majority of its weight and it's almost as slimmed down as it can be at this point, it's probably hitting 100 miles an hour or something. Your guys are on like the closest part to a straightaway that there is.
So would you say that Olaire,
if he fell off the train now, it would be very, very bad for him.
He's not immovable, so he's unbreakable. Would you say he's unbreakable?
I'd say Olaire's pretty unbreakable.
Okay, well, I'm going to test a time-old theory and reach into my sling under my arm and pull out an immovable rod and stick it in front of him and then press the button so that it stops in the air and he's accelerated towards it as we all are at 110 miles an hour.
You hear him just go, oh, fuck. As he is not heavy enough to stop the rod, it's what, 8,000 pounds?
8,000 pounds. So he should, at this point, basically stop against this bar that's maybe 18 inches, maybe, you know, 12 to 18 inches across, maybe an inch and a half thick. It's sort of lined up, like, right on his chest, and basically...
And he's in the doorway, which lines up with the other door.
Yeah, so he should just go straight at least to the other end of the vault, possibly to the other end of the vault and through the door. So it all depends on...
Morlo's wearing a set of adamantine full blade, which will only help him so much.
Do I need to make a roll, or is this more of a...
I would like you to roll me a D100, and we are going to see how well the back door holds up.
That's a 33.
Well, you let go, and Morlo says, as he gets snapped to the back door, there is a grinding moment as he is pushed into the back door, and you feel the train buckle upwards slightly. This is Vault Car. before there is a pop, and the back door springs from its hinges. As he is still alive and more or less safe, it's just that he is stuck to a 2 or 3 inch steel door, and the train is still moving.
Oh, it's still dragging him along, so he's just basically pressed against the back door.
Yeah.
And I turned to Marlo.
How are you doing?
Not good, my friend. Not good at all.
You're not good. My friend. I realized that one of the things I forgot to equip, and I don't know if our DM is going to allow us to do this, is I did not equip any healing.
No.
I don't have any healing potions. I don't have anything or anything like that. So there's not a whole lot that I can do.
Yeah, the only concerning thing about this is because of where it is, as you guys turn, hit a slight turn, the back of the vault car starts listing out to the side.
Okay.
And it's like, okay, so you're having like the slowest motion derailment is a great way to describe this.
Okay, so my action had been to press the button. He flies, he gets yanked to the other end of the train.
Yeah, which I will roll.
And he is basically pinned against the
door. Yeah, he essentially can't move. From where he is, he could technically try to turn off the rod and do it.
Okay, so I'm going to use my I'm going to say whatever I said to yeah. Marlo. I'm going to use my movement, and I have a tattoo that gives me, it's called Eldritch Claw,
which when you use it you get 10 foot reach. Yep,
I get 10 foot reach, and I actually want to
just gonna beat him unconscious.
I think I'm just going to start wailing away on him, like on while he's from 10 feet out. I'm just hammering him. I'll use a key point and do flurry of blows. I don't know that I can knock him unconscious. I guess I could stun him for a round.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking about doing is maybe unlocking the door, but he's probably blocking any sort of mechanism to...
I can vortex warp him again.
Okay. So then I'm going to start unloading on him. I'll use a key point I'll use my bonus action attack on him. I'll do one bonus action attack, and then if I can stun him. So I have to use my bonus action to empower the tattoo for a minute. So I will use the bonus action to empower my Eldritch things in order to attack him on the next round.
It is now Marlo.
I'm going to, I really don't want to get anywhere near this guy again because I have 3 hit points left.
Yep, that'll do it.
So normally I don't get hit very often. So that was painful because I could have cast shield, but I was trying to vortex warp him. I'm going to vortex warp him again. I'm basically going to rinse and repeat my same move from last time. And then I'm going to silvery barb him again, give myself advantage. And then he's going to have to roll that very good roll. And
16. He has a plus 7.
I have a 16.
Damn.
Beats it. Okay.
Yeah, he is just able to resist it as he's being ground into this.
That is the end of Marlo's turn. I think Marianne...
I think a good way to consider it is he's currently restrained against the door.
Yeah, I think I don't want him to be able to do another thing without... We haven't attacked him again this turn. I'm nervous about that. But I don't want Marianne to get within reach of him if we don't need to be within reach of him.
Yeah.
Marianne's going to hold and dodge.
Okay.
I mean, I have to think that he took damage. I have to think that
Seeing as he took damage,
I'm actually the one thing Marlo's going to do. Seamus, my friend, open the back door.
You asking for Seamus?
Seamus, McGruff, my friend,
open the back door.
Open the back door.
You'll hear, got it, boys. You hear as the door, I'm going to give it to you guys because that's pretty smart remembering Seamus. As the door pops, and with one final, God damn it. Alaire will be pulled back and definitely not be able to catch up with you guys, as you now see the still manacled Seamus, who goes, "Ah, so this is where you are. Anyone want to help me with these?"
So yeah, sure.
As he will step in and close the door behind him. And
brilliant, my friend. You did quite well. Everything has gone as planned.
So the train settles down. We're still moving.
Yes.
I have a set of thieves tools.
Let me do it, Andy. I think
you're probably way better at it than I am.
I can give you the +5.
Whoever does it, we just have to get the vault open now. That's the last.
Yeah, I'm +8, and then I can roll guidance, and I get a +5. So, right, yep. So we'll move into the vault car and assess the vault.
Yeah, so quickly you realize that Seamus is wearing a set of anti-magic cuffs, preventing him from casting anything that he would be able to cast, as he is holding them out to you somewhat expectantly. He will look at you, Marlo, and go, "So, are you a new person working for Ingrithan? Because I know my friend there, Nanya. He does some jobs for my boss, too."
"Well, my friend, I am a, as you might call, a free agent. I am here to..."
"Oh, yeah, I know a couple.
But is there an easy way to take off the lock?"
"Yeah, you can lockpick them."
"Okay, well, then I will..."
"They're still normal cuffs. They just, like, they essentially have anti-magic on them, so the wearer can't cast a spell."
"Got it. I will help. I mean, Seamus has been incredibly helpful, so I will take a moment. Shockingly helpful, and at first appeared to be a thorn in our side that we could not escape, but has now proven to be extremely helpful. So I will help him first."
"Okay."
"Not a great roll. That was another not great roll. That's +8, so that is still a 13 with a +8.
Wow. 13. Let me double check shackles.
If I fail, I could add 5 to it with my spark of genius trait. So I also, like, if I think I'm close, I'll add another 5.
You will succeed if you add 5 to it.
I will add another 5 to it.
Marlo remembers that there is a trick with these special anti-magic cuffs that you need to insert the pin just a little bit deeper in order to release them. His spark of genius.
Yeah.
And I got 5 of them, so I'm not going to hold back.
Yeah, as his hands are free, he goes, "Oh, thank you. So, who the fuck are we robbing?"
"Well, my friend, we are robbing the train."
"Oh, this is convenient." He just kind of looks around, finally taking in his surroundings. "I'm usually a bit more observant than that, but..."
It's been a bit of a day. So now that we're actually able to look around the vault car, what do we see? Like, is there a safe here, or is the stuff that we're looking for actually just loose in the...
So there is a large coffer, this large, like, almost trunk-like safe, and then the walls are covered. There are 3 down and 6-inch across individual lockboxes.
And so Ingrithan, I think we may not have discussed it at the beginning of the previous episode. Ingrithan was sending us after the
shattered metal. So almost certainly the stuff in this kind of very large chest in here.
Is the chest secured?
The chest has a very heavy lock on it. You would have to do some investigating perception checks or anything like that to see if it's trapped or anything.
But I mean, is the chest itself secured?
Is it bolted to the floor of the train?
It is technically not bolted to the floor of the train.
How much does it weigh?
700 odd pounds, because it's 500 pounds of metal, and it's probably another, like, 200 pound iron chest.
And you said then there's a bunch of individual lockboxes.
Yep.
So I can start opening up individual lockboxes, or we can work together on the coffer. Nunya's not really set up to do a lot of the safe breaking stuff, other than my sulfur marbles.
Yeah. Do you want to try some of those other ones, or do you want to just...
Yeah, I think I'm trying to see if maybe somebody's got a stash of, like, healing potions or something around here.
I can heal myself, but I've been focused on other things, so I'll
maybe you should heal yourself and then investigate the coffer, and then while you're doing that, Seamus and I are going to start busting open some lockboxes.
Right. Anyone got a set of thieves tools that I could borrow for these small ones?
I can loan him a set of thieves tools, because I can turn any tool set into thieves tools.
Voila. So, yes. He will happily take the thieves tools and get to popping lockboxes. Just give me a broad thieves tools roll, and depending on how you do, it'll be how many boxes.
So I have going. Proficiency, so I guess that's the same as stealth.
Yeah, so if you want to roll natural 1.
Jesus Christ.
Well, it's just one broad roll overall. Both you and Seamus managed to land on the probably the hardest lockboxes in here immediately and are very thoroughly stuck on this for the next couple of hours. Type of thing.
Not long. Okay. Well, I don't think we have a couple of hours. Yeah, like, how long?
True.
How long do you think we have until we hit the town where the guards?
Oh shit! Yeah.
Because we're going. Gonna... The last time I left the gnomes, I said go as fast as you can.
10 minutes. 10-15 minutes.
All right. Well, first thing. How about this? Because I can do some of this. So I'll. Did they have to wait an hour before they can get another roll?
No. I'm just saying that they are pretty ineffective on this. Small lockboxes. Okay. They haven't made any attempts. Like, both you and Seamus are, whatever the case is, because it's natural ones, you are both more or less unable to get into these smaller lockboxes. The locking mechanism is generally a lot better than either of you were expecting.
I mean, how heavy are the small lockboxes?
So they are built in shelf on the other side of the room. Got it. This big
I'll turn my attention to those after I take care of this. So first, I'm going to heal myself.
Yep.
I'm going to use a second level cure wounds. That was a very good roll.
Nice. Oh, yeah, that was an incredible roll. That is a 19 healing on a second level cast of Cure Wounds.
That gets me a little bit more, and then I will quickly investigate the main.
Yep. Okay. Roll me an investigation check.
That is a 21.
This is definitely warded in some way with magic.
Like, we impossible have to open, for, like, arcane lock, or just traps.
You can throw me an arcana check.
That was a 25.
This definitely has a glyph of warding. Of at least fourth level on it.
Something horrible.
Or a big fireball.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay. It's moving, so that's not the condition that sets it off.
Right.
Could we use those anti-magic cuffs to transfer that anti-magic?
I am an artificer. Can I jury-rig something to attach the anti-magic cuffs to the with my tinker tools?
That's the whole reason they got put in the one shot. Give me a tinker check to jury-rig the anti-magic field onto your thieves tools.
Well, that's a 17, but I have guidance, and so that's another +4, so that's a 21, and if that's not good enough, I will do a spark of genius to get it up to a 26.
A 21 beats the second breakpoint. It had a 15, you would have been successful, but you would have been at disadvantage no matter what on your attempts to roll with it. Breaking a 20 is a flat set of thieves tools that for the next hour will operate ignoring the effects of magic and be able to get around arcane blocks as well as setting off magical traps.
All right, here I go.
Nice. Okay.
So now I will attempt to pick the lock here. All right.
Now's the hard part.
Can I get both Andy
either one of them can help you. The choice is yours.
I will help.
Seamus will stay as lookout, looking out into the vast darkness of nothingness.
All right. Well, those are two very good rolls. The high was a 19, so that is a 27, but with guidance, it is a 28. And then if I feel like that's not good enough, I will add the Spark of Genius and add another 5 and get it to a 34.
Using a Spark of Genius will...
33.
A 33 will pop the Masterwork lock on this, being a DC 30. Yes, I made the DC that high. The lock will pop as this thing kind of flips open and you will see a trove of glittering, sparkling, shiny magic ore.
My friends, it is time.
I start shoveling stuff into the bag of holding that Ingratham gave me, I guess.
And I pull out my bag of holding and hand it to Seamus, and then I'm going to start working while they're unloading. I will start to work on those lockboxes.
Okay, so they tried probably a dozen lockboxes of thieves and couldn't get into any. There's easily 100 smaller lockboxes in this room.
I will pick.
So you can just pick any lockbox. Yeah. Just give me a general thieves tool roll, and we will and see how you.
That is a 26 with guidance. That is a 28.
Yeah.
This character is made to do these things.
Roll me 3d8.
Low average.
You are able to pop. Probably about 6 of these lockboxes open, and you get easily 300 gold worth of gems and other valuables that were intended for the bank in Bounty.
I will point out, like, just a quick metagaming, like, You don't need to be a rogue to pick lock.
Yes.
D&D has made a lot of options available to other characters to be able to do these sets of things.
And very effectively.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very effectively.
I've rolled over 25 now 3 times.
You're rolling pretty well, but you rolled very well, but that's still to be able to get over 30 and or near 30 on all of these is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Especially after Seamus and I.
And I could have taken a Gloves of Thievery, which would give me another +5, but I was like, I think I can do pretty high without it.
without the gloves.
I don't need another 5 on this.
But at this point, one of the gnomes will run down and go, I don't know what you're doing. This is the one who wasn't shouting at the station. But if we hit the bridge at this speed, the train is going to crash. The bridge will destroy itself.
Friend, and I give him a pat. Sometimes all things come to an end.
All things come to an end, buddy. Don't worry. Everything that we know, it's all transitory. You're going to come to the next life. It's going to be amazing. And they're going to build back the bridge even better than it was before. So trust me. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you and your buddies. We're all going to make it through this. And I got something for all of you.
And I pull out like the 3 biggest, fattest gems that we pulled out of the lockbox. And I'd be like,
each one of you guys is going to get one of these. And it's going to be great. You're going to get like a 6-month break from doing this job, and it's gonna be awesome, and then they're gonna hire you for the next step to help rebuild the bridge. You're gonna make so much money.
Roll me a pretty easy persuasion at advantage. His eyes glitter and he nods emphatically. He will take the money back to his compatriots.
My guy,
I give him the keys to the manacles so that they can do their thing. And I assume at this point we're probably close to the town.
Looking out, you can see bridge stop, the stop right before Folly Bridge, approaching rapidly. Did anyone keep any? There is still a black stone that's working, I just realized. The one on the dead guard will crackle to life. You hear a voice go, Graywin guard, this is Cornelius. Cornelius, what happened to the rest of the train?
Cornelius, oh, you go.
Marlo will, again, I think I have the...
Are you going English or are you going American?
I made a mistake.
Graywin guard, respond.
The fancy accent, I will use a much more...
My friends, I think that there is a problem with the train. We were raw, but we can't seem to stop. Back off. It's
you hear a voice go. The voice goes, you think I, Cornelius, Hamimus, Arthur, Damon, can't stop a stupid fucking train?
Yes.
As you look out ahead, you are rapidly approaching. You can see a horribly beefy dude in what can only be described as a sorcerer's robes start spinning his hands, and he is starting to cast a spell in front of the train as he has another guy holding this black box in front of his face as he is essentially screaming into it, watch me stop this train!
And we're just barreling.
Yeah, you guys are barreling through.
Okay, so we've loaded so we have everything we need, right? Okay, I think the 3 of us should...
How close to the edge of the chasm are we?
I'd say it's probably 15 feet to a sheer drop, more or less, from where you are.
Well, I can get out.
Okay, I got these 3 gnomes. Okay. He starts casting this spell. I'm going to grab the 3 gnomes. Say, boys, going over the edge. And I would like to have these shattered sulfur marbles.
Yep.
I would like to take all 4 of my shattered sulfur marbles, each of which does 2d6 fire damage. I am going to huck them into the battery box, into the power charge. And then I am going to... I'm going to assume Seamus can do something to, like...
Seamus jump, and Seamus steps to the edge and will wild shape into a hawk and start flying away.
Okay, great. Yeah,
and then Seamus is a druid. He has an out.
So Marianne is just gonna jump because I can fix her, and I will misty step over to the chasm and then cast Featherfall, and I will cast Featherfall on the gnomes myself and Marianne. That's 5.
So literally, I'm just grabbing the gnomes and just yeeting them over the side, 1, 2, 3, and then jumping myself so that they're just over the edge.
And then if you can cast Featherfall, they're perfect. Then we're all over the edge.
So as Seamus will fly
as
down
8d6 fire damage goes off inside the battery box of this thing.
So what Cornelius Hammamus Arthur Damon, the leader of the Brotherhood of Radiant Outrage. So as Chab, the leader of Bro, casts Wall of Stone down the length of the train line. So it's hitting it lengthwise instead of like flat on.
Got it.
To slow it down as much as possible. You, as you are all falling, you will watch the engine car hit and start plowing through as the back two cars flip up and over, like scorpion tailing it over into the middle of bridge stop, as that there is a massive explosion promptly leveling the as you all safely float and glide onto the side of the chasm, or in the case of Seamus and Nanya, simply fly down to safety with a huge toe in hand. I do need a perception check.
High fives all around.
All right.
John, you reach over to high five Seamus and your hand goes through his hand. And you realize the Seamus that's high fiving and standing there is an illusion, as you can see a hawk flying away off a distance carrying a bag.
Seamus, that son of a bitch. I know your name. Ingrid's gonna eat your ass. God damn it, never trust a thief.
We should have known.
You really should have.
It was a very busy time.
Yeah.
And but... I do feel kind of bad for the railroad guys. It's gonna do wonders for them. No accidents this month, the kind of thing.
But we still have one of the bags, and Seamus does work for
Ingertham. Yeah,
Ingertham. Since he does, he will have to answer to him.
Yeah. We are not having this conversation in earshot of the gnomes, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Like, of course,
the gnomes have been paid off.
Okay, boys, you need to roll yourself in a lot of dirt and get your story straight. You
know, send them on their way.
I send them on their way.
I think we wrap up this. Story of the Shattered Chasm there.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah.
This is what happens when you give the 6 intelligent rogue druid a bag of holding. when you clutch him as kind of stupid. Yeah.
Yes, but I do think that he will go back to Ingrid and then he will have to answer to him.
Pretty accurate. Pretty accurate.
Very fun, Peter.
Yeah, that was brilliant. That was good. A bunch of good twists. The freaking robbers with our plan.
Yeah, they're going to rob the rest
really
of the
good.
Train while
really,
in front
really,
of the train.
Really, really good.
Yeah.
Really
yeah,
good.
I'm and
a good
to
way
think
to
of...
good way to speed up the action too. It's like, oh, I think we need to go now.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, is there anything you missed? Yeah. The summer shield stuff was a prototype Gatling gun that you guys could have grabbed and assembled if you wanted to try to lug it across the train. That was an option, like the classic Western crank fire Gatling gun.
That would have been good, but we were pretty confident in our abilities. Although I was maybe a little overconfident in my ability to take 56 points of damage.
Yeah. Yeah.
When that guy showed up, I was like, oh, this is going to be like a level 20 fighter who is like absolutely.
He was a level 11 fighter using a customized subclass called the Knave. And he was wearing adamantine full plate defensive. So he had like a 21 AC.
Without that freaking, I still could have gotten more. I could have gone off one more vortex warp.
If he had gotten one more turn without us opening the door, that would have been a big problem. And if you had either not noticed the magic on the chest or gone at it without it, it was going to dimension door you over the chasm, which is there. Security.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do have Featherfall, so I might have failed the robbery, but I would have survived.
But you would have survived.
Right.
So
Marianne, help me.
For the people listening, there was a character, just one of the NPCs that was mentioned in the previous episode was a goth dwarf wizard named Shadrix. His room was the one that had infernal noises coming from it, and he may or may not have failed at summoning a demon and gotten killed by imps.
Poor guy.
In the meantime, their travels. Poor guy. But it also would have meant if you happened to open the door, it would have let 5 imps out into the rest of the train.
That was really good, Pete. That was really good,
that was
good pacing.
Fun.
lot of fun, just challenging enough. We definitely were well prepared. So
incredibly
that was good.
Well prepared.
Yeah,
and I do appreciate you letting, I think it's great when a DM lets a player or the character do the things that they're really good at and give them opportunities to show off why they're so good. So it was really fun to have, in the case of Nanya, to be able to move up the train and do those kind of explorations to yeet the guard in the first episode. And you use a lot of those abilities because that's his whole thing is high mobility, stun somebody. And so to have all of those opportunities, and then conversely with Marlo, to be able to have the opportunities, all that stuff at the end where you were being able to use the acid to cut the trains loose, or to be able to do all the lock picking stuff.
Yeah.
It was like super fun to be able to have those opportunities.
Yeah, I agree. Great thought around the anti-magic cuffs, and then being able to pair that with the artificer to jury rig something up. That was good DM planning for us. And we got half lucky that Seamus made it, to be clear. I'm kind of rooting for the guy. And then it was like, that worked out well for us.
if anyone had decided to get a closer look, if Nanya had decided to get like closer or made the history check, Nanya would have maybe remembered at the very beginning, would have maybe gotten a bit more detail that would have clued you guys in on that being him being a semi asset to the group a little bit more, aside from his escape. There were a couple things in there. As I kept introducing things, when is their thing, the payoff to this setup, gonna be, or will it need that setup? The circus performers, they never needed to be paid off. They were clearly a little bit more of an obstacle. So
it did help that we were able to use detect thoughts early on to get a read on people to know that we knew that Morlo was not among them. That helped quite a bit. And then we didn't overthink
it. You mean Olaire?
Olaire was not among them.
Olaire.
That was great.
Yeah.
How long do you think you spent prepping this whole thing?
I think I probably spent... Heists are a little hard to prep for, I think, in particular, because there's two ways to do heists. You can set up a pretty dedicated clock of X happens at this time, or you can do a little bit closer to what I did, which is I had a rough idea. If you had taken a little bit longer, I had things I knew I wanted to happen, which was the other people robbing the train, Olaire, either you guys breaking into the vault car and fighting Olaire, like having his appearance be a thing. And whenever stuff like lulled or you guys start repeating actions, that's when it was time for a new element, time to switch to a different perspective, time to add in a different flavor to fill out the context of the situation when it comes to overall prepping a one shot over the course of a couple weeks at probably 8 or 10 hours. I knew this was two level 8 characters, so I was, what's too much, what's too little? I will entirely admit to making 8th level characters and just running them in one-on-one fights with a couple different options I was thinking of guards, and just seeing what options they had.
Well, I think you did a great job with a relatively prep heavy one shot, especially given that you're writing it from scratch. I think 8 to 10 hours is about right. You could probably do it with less, but you'd have a lot less detail and a lot less of the fun stuff that gave this so much flavor.
Yeah. And I would say, Pete, that I'm right there with you. I whenever I do one shots, I usually will either, if I can get a hold of the character sheets early, or even just make up some characters, because you can use the CR ratings to see if things are dangerous or not. But you need to actually, as a DM, you just run it. It doesn't really matter how detailed you get.
Yeah.
But just to get a read on what kind of things do you need to do. And particularly, I like that you did it with the guards, because you didn't want the guards to be things that were going to slow us down unless we just whiffed endlessly.
Yeah.
You didn't want them to be, they should be things that hold us up for a round or two, or make us make different decisions, but don't stop us in our tracks.
So all the black boxes that I was referring to over the course of this were all sending stones. My favorite gimmick in any D&D game is, if they're guards and they're paid well, like the Greywind Guard are, they have sending stones and they just walkie-talkie with them.
Yeah, that's what makes guard, they're like the police.
Yeah.
Having a radio, it's not that any individual police officer or guard is overwhelming. It's when all 8 guards have shown up. That would have been a big problem for us. So, that's one of the reasons why I like yeeted the guy early. Oh, this is an opportunity to get rid of
poor Mikey.
Yeah,
poor Mikey. I should probably roll to see if he survived, but he probably did. So yeah, all the guards were pretty much thug stat lines, except they were wearing chain shirts, so they had 16 AC.
Right.
So they were like two attacks, multi-attack with pack tactics. They were really set up to be more dangerous once they got all grouped together. So the initial plan that you guys came up with, which was steal the train at the guard change, I had to scale down a lot of the Brotherhood of Radiant consumption. But after you guys decided that the plan was to blow through them, and realistically you guys weren't going to end up in a combat with them, I had just in case set them up as essentially a quartet of Blackguard. If anyone knows the stat line of Blackguard, they're pretty scary. And a 12th level sorcerer, Celestial Bloodline Sorcerer,
that
which was Cornelius, which would have been like the really scary one because the guy is nuts.
So let's talk about that for a second, because there are a couple. So we did do some prep in case we had to get at the guards. I had a reflavored Pipes of Haunting, which was a shattered metal tuning fork of haunting that I could sound and cast the equivalent of a fear spell to anybody who heard it.
Yep.
That may have helped. Always hard to know. And I had three castings of it, so I could repeat it if I needed to.
Yeah,
I didn't really have much else. I did have a cacticat, which was a little clay figure that I could throw and would turn into spike growth. So if I had to slow them down.
Yeah, and the stuff I had was I could cast silence like I did, but I could also cast darkness and see in dark vision and had pass without a trace. And one of the things I didn't use but could use is, if I'm in dim or shadowed light, I can step from one shadow to another. Essentially, it's misty step,
yeah,
teleportation-ish stuff. And so more than likely, if it had been a big group fight, I would have cast darkness in the middle of it and then
just
moved in, slid into the darkness, and just really used dark vision to beat up a bunch of people.
Yeah,
that would have been good. I'd misty step as Fey Touch. I could have also cast invisibility on myself if I needed to. And when you're doing one shots, you can go a little crazy with your spells. If you have spells, yeah, you should not be holding back. I was holding that vortex warp to deal with whatever the worst thing I could identify was. And so I did, I debated it. Yeah, I debated doing it earlier, but then I don't want to waste this on something I can beat up because I might need it if this Olaire guy shows up. And if it had worked, it would have been.
I just want to talk personal highlights. I'm going to say this for me is personal highlights of the whole thing were rolling the nat 20 on the persuasion check for the half ogre.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, my character is not charismatic at all. It was just, and it's super funny to me because I kept doing all these things where I would be like, hey guys, you're with us now. Here's a bribe. And rolling pretty well. And then, what was your name again?
Marcus.
Marcus, the boss says you got to go the other way. You're supposed to follow the other guys. We're taking care of this. And really like, good. Actually worked. It's always, I really enjoy taking characters that are weak in an area and trying stuff that they're not necessarily innately good at because when it works, it's amazing. And you don't, and it feels unexpected and super fun. So
that was, I think also, Andy, the save with the immovable rod was also.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I was saving Action Surge for him to be untouched and in melee with both of you.
Yeah.
So he could just ream the two of you. So he had an effect going called Guts where he would, at the end of a turn, he could essentially call Guts, which what he was doing. And if any of you had decided to attack him, you would have attacked him at advantage. And the first person to essentially successfully deal damage, he gets an extra d6 to attack back. But if no one attacks him, or everybody fails to deal damage to him, then he gets a d6 on all of his attacks.
Oof, that was rough. Oof. Yeah, I felt it. I felt it.
Yeah.
I did have a couple of things that I could have done. If he hit me and I still had my reaction, I could blind him. I had a radiant sword, so that could have helped. And then if I also had my reactions, he would have still had a hard trouble hitting me because I could cast shield and get up to a 26.
Right.
And then I also had three uses of reflavored gift of the metallic dragon as gift of the chasm. So he was born in the chasm. Right. So, and he was grew up in a shattered metal cradle. And so he could also get a +3, a magical shield to help me or anyone else around me. So I felt good about it until I used my reaction to vortex warp him and then I took a crit.
Having him as a mage slayer was as soon as that happened, I was okay. I had thought of the immovable rod as a gag, right? I was, oh, well, it depends on the trains moving at this high speed to be able to just press a button and have this thing just go bong, fly along, and either punch through somebody or clear a whole train out or whatever it is. So, but yeah, as soon as that guy showed up, I was like, oh my gosh, I got to use the
that was good rod
because this guy's going to kill us
those,
all.
Those were definitely your top two moments. I'd say the two moments that I felt the best about, it was really simple. But just yelling to the first guard, they're robbing the train, was like, I'm like, we don't need to deal with this guy. He'll go after the robbers. So I felt like that was like just a good momentary one. And then remembering that Seamus was on the other side of the.
Above you, like 100%. Right there.
Maybe we can get out of this.
Yeah,
I have a fun little bit that we can do as a close up to the game. The massive train disaster that you guys have inadvertently caused.
We didn't break the bridge.
We didn't crush the bridge.
You did blow up bridge stop.
Yeah, yeah, but that's not the bridge.
True. It is still important. Days later, after you two have gotten your spoils, Ingritham very much surprisingly casual, I would say, about Seamus getting away with half the loot. You two are paid and away. But back at bridge stop,
immediately goes to a jeweler and has a tiara made.
Back at bridge stop, in its now only smoking ruins, we find a large individual hunched over some of the burning debris. He's this large scaled figure in a big trench coat of fedoras on top of his head. It's good that you got me. Croc Johnson is on the case. A lizard folk smokes a cigar. And that's where we end, I suppose, this one shot with Croc Johnson, PI.
Maybe Marlo will sign up to investigate his own crime.
That would be a good gimmick for a story.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Croc Johnson was one of the possible people I put on the train, and then I decided not to. Croc Johnson.
What happened to the rest of the train, right?
Yeah. So
all the passengers got cut loose.
So broadly, what ended up happening is the train eventually moved along the track, lost power probably a mile or two. In the process, crushed the high elf Paladin Shay. So the Paladin of Bahamut that was there was crushed. The family and the kid are all fine, but they're back in Riddle.
Yep.
They have failed to leave the chasm. The circus got delayed. A majority of the robbers, aside from Marcus, got caught. Marcus made away with the prototype Gatling gun.
Yeah,
the half-ogre managed to pick up the big heavy box and hoof it into the woods. Eventually, some poor guard decided to open and figure out what happened to Shadrix and got absolutely murdered by five imps who then escaped into the wild. Because I'm sorry, but imps are the best familiar for a reason.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it's a wrap up on everything.
Nice. Excellent. I think, yeah, there's some really good play, some stuff we held on to that we didn't have to do, which was also great. Andy, really good play. Well done.
Thank you. Right back at you. I think just, yeah, super fun. High fives like we did at the end of the heist.
High fives all around. We did it. Nobody's dead. Well, a few people are dead, but not anybody that's with us.
I'll say the last thing to make note of is somewhere out in the middle of the chasm floating downriver is a poor guard named Mikey waking up with a terrible concussion. He's waking up with the worst concussion. Like, how the fuck did I get here?
What am I doing down here? Mikey's going to be my next character, guys.
Mikey. The poor guard. You can give him amnesia and make him whatever class you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you all for listening. I hope you enjoyed the playthrough. We'll do more of these stories of the chasm.
Peter play. Maybe I'll get to play for once.
We'll rotate it around.
Yeah, so maybe Michael, you run the next one, and then I can run one after that.
Wonderful. I think that'll be fun.
Go around.
Andy, you want to walk us out?
Well, let me, you know, I was thinking about swords.
Oh, swords.
Hello. Yeah, I was thinking about swords. You know, swords, they never become obsolete.
Why is that?
They're a cutting edge technology. Okay, everybody.
Marlo perfectly agrees. He likes the sword.
Nanya just goes, it's all about the feet. It's all about the feet. You just got to kick them.
Kick them till they're down.
I have plenty of feats.
Okay, the easiest way to find us is at our link tree. It's linktr.ee/thedadvantage. And you can find us on Threads, and we're getting more active on Instagram, and we're always active in Facebook. So if you follow us on our Facebook group, that's great. Thanks again, Peter, for running this for us.
Thank you, Peter.
To have you on there. You're a very accomplished DM. I'm not going to take any credit for it whatsoever. I'm not taking it. Like, seriously. We went through this the last time. You are actually a very good DM. I really enjoy playing with you. Thank you very much for running. It's really, really appreciated.
Thank you for letting me join on to this.
Yeah, we'll give you a shot at playing a character.
Yeah. Sometime soon. Yeah. So thanks, everybody. We really appreciated you following along for all of this.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a good day.